After 6 weeks travelling and trading, the Coogan was approaching the end of its voyage. Marie Skibo knew they were within days of Durringham, even though Len Buchanan had said nothing. She recognised the lying villages again, the white-painted slat walls of the trim houses, neat gardens, the pastoral fantasy. The Julif was coffee brown again, running eagerly towards the freedom of the ocean that couldn't be far away now. She could see the Haltane Marsh squatting on the north shore when the wavelets weren't riding too high, a dismal snarl of mouldy vegetation sending out ice-smarting streamers of brimstone gases. Big paddle craft, similar to the Swithland, were churning their way upriver, leaving a foamy wake behind them. Fresh colonists gazed out at the shoreline with wonder and desire animating their faces, and children raced round the decks laughing and giggling. Fools, all of them utter fools. The Coogan was stopping at fewer and fewer jetties now. Their original stocks were almost depleted, the tramp trader riding half a metre higher in the water. The balance in Len Buchanan's Jovian Bank credit disc had grown in proportion. Now he was buying cured meat to sell in the city. "Stop loading!" Len shouted at her from the wheelhouse. "We're putting ashore here." The Coogan's blunt prow turned a couple of degrees, aiming for a jetty below a row of large wooden warehouses. There were several cylindrical grain silos to one side. Power bikes bumped along the dirt tracks winding round the houses. The village was a wealthy one. The kind Marie thought Group 7 was heading for, the kind that had tricked her. She abandoned the logs she was loading into the hopper and straightened her back. Weeks spent cutting up timber with a fishing saw, then feeding the hopper in all weathers, had given her the kind of muscles she'd never got from the gym at the Arcology's day centre. She had lost almost 2 centimetres from her waist. Her old shorts didn't cling anything like the way they used to. Thin smoke from the furnace's leaky iron stack made her eyes water. She blinked furiously, staring at the village they were approaching, then ahead to the west. She made up her mind and walked forward. Gail Buchanan was sitting at the side of the wheelhouse, her scraggly hair tied back, coolie hat casting a shadow over her knitting needles. She had knitted and sewed her way down the whole length of the river from Averdale. "Where do you think you're going, lovey?" the huge woman asked.
"My cabin."
"Well, you make sure you get back out here in time to help my Lenny with the mooring. I'm not having you slacking off while he has work to do. I've never known anyone as lazy as you. My poor husband works like a mechanoid to keep us afloat." Marie ignored the obloquy and brushed past her, ducking down into the cabin. She had turned a corner of the cargo hold into a little nest of her own, sleeping on a length of shelving at nights after Len had finished with her. The wood was hard, and she'd repeatedly knocked her head on the frame during the first week until she got used to the confined space. But there was no way she was going to spend the night lying in his embrace. She stripped off the colourless dungarees she used on deck and pulled a clean bra and a T-shirt from her bag where they had lain throughout the voyage. Feeling the smooth synthetic fabric snug against her skin brought back memories of Earth and the Arcology. Her world, where there was life and a future, where Gov Central gave away didactic courses and people had proper jobs and went to clubs and had 1,000 sensorized entertainment channels to choose from, and the VAC trains could take you to the other side of the planet in 6 hours. Black, tropical-weave jeans with a leathery look finished the change. It was like wearing civilization. She picked up the shoulder bag and went forwards. Gail Buchanan was hollering for her as she slid the bolt on the toilet door. The toilet itself was just a wooden box, built from mayope so it could take Gail's weight, with a hole in the top. There was a stack of big vine leaves to wipe with. Marie knelt down and prized the bottom plank off the front of the box. The river gurgled by a metre below. Her 2 packets were hanging below the decking, tied into place with silicon fibre fishing line. She cut the fibre with a pocket fishing blade and stuffed the 2 polythene-wrapped bundles into her shoulder bag. They were mostly medicinal nanonic packages, the highest value-for-weight ratio items the Coogan carried. She'd also included some personal MF players, a couple of processor blocks, small power tools, a hoard that had been steadily built up over the voyage. The shoulder bag's seal barely closed around them. Gail's voice was reaching hysteria pitch by the time Marie got back to the galley, and gave a last look round the wooden cell where she had spent an eternity cooking and cleaning. She took down the big brown clay pot of mixed herbs and tugged out a thick wad of Lalande francs.